Looking at Parshas Truma, I'd like to share a yesod, a fundamental idea, that the truth is that I had a completely different approach that I wanted to take in looking at this week's Parsha until I was in one of those situations which is called in a rush. Maybe one or two of you have met that situation, where I ran to the Makolot last Monday just to pick up a couple of things for dinner, the local market, running to do a carpool, and someone stopped me and said, "Shira, I got to tell you a story." I said, "I don't have time right now. I'm really in a rush." They said, "You got to listen to the story." So I stopped, I listened to the story, and I said to them, "Not only have you given me a story," I said, "I've changed my mind on what the Parsha Shir for this week should be. I'm now going to talk about a completely different idea because of your story." And I thank them not only for the story, but for this Parsha Shir. So let's talk about, a very fundamental concept. And then at the end, with God's help, we'll share the story. Parsha begins by telling us, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, v'ikhu li truma, and let them take for me a portion from every man whose heart motivates him. You shall take my portion." And then the Torah describes, well, what are the items that you can take as a portion to give as a donation to the tabernacle. And the Torah tells us in verse number 8, "Vasuli mikdash, they shall make a sanctuary for me, v'shachanti b'tocham, so I may dwell among them." The point of all these materials was in order to build a tabernacle for God. The Arsrol Stone Chumash in source number 2 points out, based on Rashi, that v'ikhu li has to be lishmi. The people should contribute for the tabernacle purely for the sake of God's name, not because of social pressure or in a quest of honor. And then he notes here, and this will be our essential question, how come it says v'ikhu li truma, that they should take for me a portion, when technically the term should be not that they're taking, but that they're giving? V'ichnu li truma. Really, it should be, and they should give for me a portion. Not take. You're not taking anything. You're giving. And that's why he quotes here the Sforno, that this command was directed to the leaders who were directed to take, to make collections from the masses. So then it would make sense that the leaders were told to take from the people the contribution. The Arsgol Stor Chumash notes at the end of Source 2, homiletically, many comment that by contributing to God's causes, a Jew truly takes for himself, for personal benefit of generosity, is far greater than its cost. It's this idea that I'd like to, with Hashem's help, develop today. And I'd like to subtitle the Shiur give-and-take relationship, the five ingredients, obviously not exclusive, but like in any cake, you have five major ingredients, and then each and every one of us adds our little secrets. Then when we give out the recipe to our friends, we never tell them, and then they always wonder why it never tastes exactly like ours. We all know that. But the five major ingredients of what Stucco is about, of what charity is about, of what it means to build, if it's Shachanti B'Tocham, what it means to build a tabernacle. What does it mean to be a person who's a giving person, who's donating to others? And it's these five building blocks that we'll understand on each on a different level why it says v'yikuli, and you shall take from me, and not v'yichnuli, and you shall give. Building block number 1 is found in Mirosh Terim Rav Reis, source number 3, where he notes, HaMishkan shebanu Yisrael l'shem Hashem no'ad liyod ha'makom shebem suto tishra shechina le'adamot. We know the tabernacle's goal was to be a place where God's shechina, God's presence, was going to rest. And in reality, he notes, that it is really, and this is the Ramban at the beginning, Nachmanides of our parasha, very famous Ramban, it's really, in all intents and purposes, an extension of the Mount Sinai experience. The Mount Sinai experience was an experience of intense hashra'a fashrina, intense feeling of God's presence coming down upon the people. And we know that that experience, as wonderful as and powerful as it was a very short-term experience. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make this special experience, this special rendezvous, if you will, a continual experience. And therefore the Mishkan becomes, and that's how the Ramban describes it, that you find a lot of similarities with the different parts of the tabernacle paralleling the different parts of the mountain, unto where the people were allowed to go, to where the priests were allowed to go, where Moshe and Aaron went. The same type of boundaries were set up, because this too was an experience of Hashra'as HaShechina, the place where God's presence resided, but on a more permanent level. What's the difference between Mount Sinai and the tabernacle? Well, one essential difference, says Rav Reis in the third paragraph, is that Be'ot Sinai Kol Hashra'a Haita Mitzad Shamayim. In the Mount Sinai experience, the initiative came from above. Our job was just to prepare for this experience. But in the Mishkan, through our donating the materials and building and working, they, Jewish people, were the ones that allowed the Shekhinah to come down. It was as if, kivyachol, we were the ones that were taking the initiative, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kivyachol, was responding and dwelling in our midst. While Mount Sinai was God taking the initiative and we receiving, the Mishkan was us, kivyachol, taking the initiative and God as if receiving and coming down. And this is why, in Source 4, he notes that although one needs technically, gold, silver, and different materials, as enumerated at the beginning of our parsha, to build a building, this is what you need. What was really the essential aspect of building this Mishkan was the desire of the Jewish people to have God reside in their midst. The Kesef and Zahav is only extraneous to what was the essential aspect, and that was the Ratzon, that was the desire of the Jewish people to build this building. And that is what Rashi says, Li Lishmi. Their desire, their focus to build a place that is going to be for purely for the sake of God. And this is how at the end of Source 4, Shlomo HaMelech in Song of Songs describes, Apiryon Asali HaMelech Shlomo, a palace the King Shlomo made. It was made of matzel of Anon, it was made of cedar trees. Amudav Kesef, Asa Kesef, the pillars were made of silver. Refidato Zahav, there were elements of gold. But you know what the essentials was? Toho Ratzufa Avavim Not Yushalayim. The inside was pulsating with love. It's that panemius, it's that inner part, it's that desire, it's the nadiva slave, it's the generosity of the people that really built the Mishkan. Perhaps this concept of the interplay between the outer and inner, it's described so beautifully in how one of the kelim, one of the vessels was made, and that is the menorah. The Torah tells us in source number 5, Miksha te'aseh ha-menorah. One unit, the menorah, should be made. And Rashi notes, on te'aseh ha-menorah, it should be made of itself, Rashi says, because Moshe found difficulty in how do you make one, out of one piece, so many different parts. So they threw it into the fire, and it was made by itself. So as the Sasemes, well, how does that idea, that the menorah was really made by itself, fit in with the idea in Source 6, where the Pasuk tells us, or Eva selatavitam asheratam arebahar, you shall do as I illustrate, as I show you the image on the mountain. Which seems to be that Hashem showed Moshe how to make the menorah. So how do we reconcile that with the fact that the menorah was made by itself? So explains the Sfas Emes, And this is really the fundamental aspect, not only by the menorah, but by life itself. He says, yes, Lamito shel davar, the middle of six, ein biyadei adam levaseya muma min ha-mitzvah. Truth is, we really don't have the ability to do mitzvos. Kol tafkid ha-adam mitzvamstein rak bashlacha la-or. All we really do is put in our ishtadlus, put our, in our efforts, we throw things into the fire. And it really happens by itself, right? We're mistaken to think that we accomplish. It's God who's accomplishing. We are the ones who are putting things in our minds into effect. But what is really our job? The arrow in six, ulam adam nikra l'ot bahara tatsura. Our job is to look at the mountain and how it should be done. V'lishtokek la'sota, and desire for it to be done. Haratzon ha'kana, that desire from the side of the person is really what builds the menorah, is really what builds each and every mitzvah. And this is the idea he notes at the bottom in source 7. Says the Sfas Emes, what is the kuli truma you shall take from me and not give? Our job is ulami spira Sfas Emes. Ki lamito shel davar ein adam no tein ma'um, we give nothing. Our job is just the generosity of our heart. A person should take himself, his soul, his desire, and give that up to God. And the rest happens by itself. Building block number one of what V'chuli Truma is about. And you shall take from me a portion, not give to the tabernacle, but take. Take yourself, take your desire. Before we can even talk about the technicalities of giving, we have to form the mindset. And the mindset has to be, where is our desire? Where is our hishtokukos? Where is our rutzon? Where are we? And this is the idea that the Sefer Ish L'Reyehu notes in source number 9 from the Chasam Sofer, where the Chasam Sofer points out that our job is that a person has to realize that when we give charity, we're not really giving of anything that belongs to us, as we'll speak about. But what we're really giving is nidivat libo, the gift of our heart, the ritzono hatov, our goodwill. And the Chasam Sofer says that this idea, which we just spoke about in the Sfas Emes, of giving of our attitude, of our desire, really explains another aspect in Yiddishkeit in general, where the Chasam Sofer points out that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that a person should be careful of a mitzvah kala, third paragraph in 9, have a zahir b'mitzvah kala kebechamura. You should be careful about easy mitzvahs as difficult ones. Because you don't know the reward of a mitzvah. So that's a chasam sofer, but we don't do mitzvahs based on rewards, right? We do mitzvahs because this is the right thing to do. So why is the Mishnah telling us that we should be careful of easy mitzvahs and difficult mitzvahs? Because we don't know about the reward in them. So explains the chasam sofer something very powerful. He says, we are mistaken to think that there is an objective reward. Easy mitzvah, X amount. Difficult mitzvah, Y amount. He says, no. He says, it really depends on how we invest in the easy mitzvah and how we invest in a difficult mitzvah. A person can do an easy mitzvah and put their entire being into it, and the reward for that is going to be much greater than a difficult mitzvah that a person does as mitzvah sanashim alumata without even thinking habitually. Let's take an example. Let's say, and we don't know what easy mitzvahs are and what difficult mitzvahs are. Granted, I'm well aware of that. But let's say we would take the mitzvah of negavasar in the morning, washing your hands, you know, consecutively 3 times, alternatively 3 times in the morning, preferably by your bed within Dalet Amos as an easy mitzvah. And let's take Shabbos as a difficult mitzvah, just as an example. A person can be careful that every night they're going to set up by their bed that negavasar. a person can be careful that if they're going to take a plane ride, instead of using one of those, you know, plastic or paper cups that, you know, you find in the airline bathrooms, they're going to bring their plastic Negavasser cup with them, and they're bringing it on their carry-on. We know how precious every space on the carry-on is. And they're going to go to a person's house, and they're packing. They're going to take their Negavasser bowl and cup with them. This is a person who's taken an easy mitzvah and invested in it 100%. And you take the same person or a different person, and Shabbos, which is a difficult mitzvah, they don't think about. They don't invest it. And that's why the Mishnah says, Lefum Sara Agra. According to the difficulty is the reward. Not according to the chumrah, not according to how difficult the mitzvah is, but how much difficulty, how much energy you put in. And my friends, that energy level is based on the kuli truma. It's based on hishtokakus, it's based on desire, it's based on the diva slave, it's based on how much we feel connected to that mitzvah, and how much we want to do it properly. And then everything else falls into place. This is the idea as our final piece on level number one, first ingredient of the cake, which the Sefer Bavavi Mishkan Evnev speaks about at length. That so often we're involved in doing the technical aspects of the mitzvot, but we forget that the mitzvot are about a relationship with Hashem. Source 12. That is to say, the mitzvot are not unrelated entities, but rather a roadmap, indicators as how to achieve dveikus to the Creator. The mitzvot therefore have two elements. There's the action, or the speech, which is specific to that mitzvah, and there's also the purpose of the mitzvah, which is to bring a person closer to dveikus, to clinging to Hashem. The numerous details of the practical aspect of the mitzvot are the many trees of the forest. But we must not lose sight of the forest. From the standpoint of the inner essence and the ultimate goal, all the mitzvot have one end, which is closest to Him, dveikus to Him. And one of the ways to achieve that is to begin the mitzvah of v'kuli truma, that my mindset is the diva slave, to give, to want a relationship, to want a connection. When I look at that mountain, when I look and desire to do the mitzvah as best as possible, then I can throw the gold into the fire and the mitzvah will be done. First element in stucco is my desire, my dveikus, my clinging to God, and taking myself and elevating it to a relationship with Hashem. Okay, we got off to a good start with the major flower of what mitzvot and tzedaka is about, specifically the donating to the Mishkan, the donating to worthy causes. Let's look at the second ingredient, and that is found in source number 13. And this is an idea that's quoted in many of the Svarim on this Pasuk, and that's the Beis Halevi. The Torah uses the word, source 13, to take, to refer to the donations to the tabernacle, even though the people were giving and not taking. This is because only the money that a person gives away to charity is really his. When a fly is in a box which contains a large amount of sugar, one cannot say because the fly is near the sugar that the sugar is really his. He might be able to eat a little bit of the sugar, but he's certainly not its owner. Similarly, the money a person has in his possession does not really become part of him. He merely has use of it for the limited time he's on earth. Therefore, the Torah uses the word taking when it refers to giving to worthwhile causes. For by this means you are truly taking. The money you give to charity is your eternal possession. When we speak about v'chuli truma, you shall take from me a portion, the money you give to the Mishkan, the money you give to any charitable cause, is really taking, because that money is yours. You have created that for eternity. All the other money really doesn't belong to you. This is a famous Gemara in Baba Batra about Munbaz the king, whose ancestors had stored away a tremendous amount of money. And one year there was a batzaret, there was a famine, and Munbaz took this money to provide for the people and to support the people during this terrible time. And people severely critiqued him, and they said, your ancestors have stored this money for generations, and you're just spending it like this? You're wasting your money. To which Munbaz replied at the end of 14. He says, my forefathers have stored this money down here. I've stored the money up in heaven. My forefathers have stored the money in a place where others can get it. I stored it in a place where nobody can touch it. My forefathers have stored it for others. I've stored it for myself. Ulecha tiyestaka. Because really, the only money that belongs to you is the money you give to charity. My forefathers stored it for this world, and I stored it for the next world. This is the perspective that we need to have. This is the perspective which our rabbis tell us. Yoter, in the end of 15, Mimasha balabayit osa im hani, hani osem abalabayit. More than the rich person is doing for the poor person, the poor person is doing for the rich person. And he says this so beautifully in the idea of im kesef talve et ami et hani imach. And if you loan money to the poor person, to the ani, to the poor one with you, imach with you means et hani imach, because the poor person is the one who is hetiv imach, who is benefiting you. That's imach with you. Not so much the poor person is physically with you, but the poor person is giving you far more than you're giving the poor person. As he notes at the end of 18, and this is something to always keep in mind, Shamekabel, the one who gives, the one who receives. The Mekabel, the one who receives, who are notain, he's the one who gives. And the notain, the one who gives, who are Mekabel, he is the one that receives. You know, we so often think that when we give tzedakah, we're giving something away. That would be true if it says, v'yitnu, and you should give. V'yiklu, and you should take, is teaching us fundamentally, and this is the second ingredient in tzedakah, that when we give, we are getting. We are receiving nisrius, we're receiving eternity. We are, in fact, this is the only money, it's the only thing that is really ours. But I'd like to take this further. We receive something else, which is fundamental as well. Rabbi Sisyahu Solomon Shlita has a beautiful, very small kuntris called V'shaveha B'tzdaka. Matnat Chaim V'shaveha B'tzdaka. I'd like to go through some of the most essential pieces together, with God's help today, on different aspects of tzedaka. And he begins in source number 17 by quoting from Maimonides. And here, Maimonides speaks about the importance of doing tzedakah, that's the highest level of chesed, of acts of kindness. And the Rambam, at the beginning of the 10th chapter of Matanos Aniyim, of gifts to the poor, spends an inordinate amount of time, and very un-Rambam-like, about the specialness of tzedakah. Let's listen to the language, and throughout this year today, we'll comment on different aspects of this Rambam. The Rambam says, Chayavim anu lizaher b'mitzvah tzedakah. We have to be careful with the mitzvah of tzedakah, of charity, yoter mikol mitzvat aseh, even more than all the positive commandments. That's already an intense statement. This is, if you had to pick, even though we don't pick, something to really recognize its importance of mitzvah tzedakah. Shastakah siman l'tzadik, zera Avraham Avinu. You want to know what the sure sign of a descendant of Avraham Avinu is? It's his ability to give tzedakah. Ve'enkisei Yisrael mitkonein v'data emet omedet ela b'tzedakah. The throne of the Jewish people stands firm on charity. Then you saw the Golim El B'Stakla, and we are redeemed through charity. And he says, in Halacha Gimel, Kol Amalim Einav Min HaStakla, anyone who shows a blind eye to charity, Harezen Yikra Blial, he's called a person who is an unscrupulous person. Kamoshinikra Ovid Akum Bliyal, like a person who worships idols called a Bliyal. Vinikra Rasha, and he's called a sinner. So we have to ask ourselves, wow, this is the most important mitzvah to say, if we could categorize such a thing, that if a person doesn't give staka, he's called a Rasha. How do we understand this? So the first point that Rav Masisyahu notes in Source 18 is, we could have thought that the purpose of giving staka is to support a poor person, and that the reason that I'm giving is because a poor person needs money. He says, truth be told is, there are many ways that God can give a person money. It's not dependent solely on us. And a person shouldn't say, well, if there's poor people, well, God wanted there to be poor people, so why should I give them money? No. The point of giving staka, the end of 18, Elodizeh baror shetachlit mitzvah staka lahanote. Staka, charity, is about the giver. Kidei shehu yiyeh miluma liyo bal chesed v'rachmanu. To teach him how to be a bal chesed, a person of kindness, a person who is a sensitive person. V'lachein kavak Kadosh Baruch Hu she'aniyim v'tzivah lativ lahem b'kol kocheinu. And that's why they're poor people. They're poor people in order for us to become more sensitive people. And that is underscored in 23 and 24, that in the mitzvah of staka, two words that repeat themselves over and over again in Parashas Re'eh are achicha, your brother, and your lev, your heart. Do not show a blind eye to your brother. Don't close your heart to your brother. When we give staka, we have to feel, in 26, as if we feel the pain of the other person. We should give with an open hand, v'yad rechava, u'besever panim yafos, in a beautiful way. Kedei shemakabel yargishu notein lo mitoch ahava v'simcha, that the receiver should feel that he's receiving with love, with joy. And this is what the Shari Tshuva in Source 25 mentions, Rabbeinu Yonah. We have hereby been exhorted to put grudgingness far from our souls and to be magnanimous. As it is said, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. The gift of the hand does not suffice. We must plant the trait of generosity in all of our souls. You know, very often, people ask the question, how do we know that when somebody comes to our door, they're legitimate, you know? So some communities have, you know, a letter from the VAD, and all these things, which is fine. And you want to give, and you want to give a lot of money to a place that's legitimate, which is great. But if a person comes to my door, and they don't have a letter, and I don't know them, how do I know I should give them? That's a famous question that's asked. And obviously, we never deal with halacha here, with Jewish law. But what Rav Masisyahu is teaching us here, and the Rambam is teaching us here, is that it's not about him. And that's our mistake. It's about us. That every time, the fact that a person's going to come to your door and ask for money, that person's a nebuch. That's it. A person is coming, and it's such a humiliating experience. Our job is to open up our hearts and be a rachman, to be nediv lev, to be somebody who's sensitive. You know, imagine for a moment being that person on the other side of the door, having the door slammed in your face. Oh, you again. Oh, here. It's humiliating. To give staka is the experience of the chuli truma. It's not about vichnuli giving. The second ingredient, it's about me. It's about that through this experience, I gain eternity. I gain empathy. I gain to be a more sensitive person. And I give with a smile, and I offer them a drink. And if I don't know them, so I give a smaller amount. Right, but the Rambam teaches us, is it better to give a $100 bill or 100 times $1 bill? And the answer is to give 100 times $1 bill. Because every time I give, I open up my heart. And that's what Stuck is about. It's about opening me up. It's about a relationship. It's about when I see those beggars on the street, that I open myself up to be a giver. And that's the hallmark of a Zera Yisrael, of a genetically a person who's a child of Avraham Avinu. I don't show a blind eye. I don't pretend not to see all those, you know, stucco women at the Kotel, you know, who are in my face, and I just walk past them like I play Nishvis and Dick. No. I know beforehand that they're going to be there, and I prepare well, and I smile, and I give them a bracha, and I, that's in the Diva Slate. And Vasisyahu here quotes something mamish, gvaldik, and I'll be honest with you, a bit scary. Vasisyahu here speaks about the Indian of Sukkah and the Indian of Hava, of lending money, really on par. And he quotes here the Sefer Chinuch, who speaks about lending money right before the Shemitah year, and you know that the debts can be canceled and you may lose your money. And the Sefer Chinuch at the end of 28 says the following. He says, a person should give. Ki Hashem Yisparach Yadina Et Adam Lufi Maisav. God judges us based on our actions. V'yanikehu Mibirchato Kefi Yikarvo Eleha. And God blesses us to the extent that we connect to Him. And they both printed 28. Umidat hachilut mechitza shal barizel veino levein abrocha. Vanedivos chelik mechelkei abrocha. A person who is stingy creates a barrier of barzel, of iron, between themselves and blessing. And a person who is in the divlev, who is generous, is able to receive this blessing. Notes from Masisyahu. You want to know what we learn here from the Sefer Chinuch? It's a little bit scary. He says that oftentimes we could imagine, for example, the asterisk in 29, Shiachol liot adam she'asek b'tarav avodah, a person can be involved in learning Torah and involved in the service of Hashem b'kol kocho with all of his might. V'kayem tamid kirtzon Hashem and does the will of Hashem. V'lachein royuhu lebrocha, and such a person for sure is worthy of tremendous amount of blessing. U'mekame shmaya shofchim lo shefa brachos pli shiur. And it's raining down blessings from heaven. Omnam, however, kisheyeshlo midas achilos, when a person is stingy, habracha lo yagia ilav, the blessing will never reach this person. Ela yitakev baderech, will stop along the way. Ayidea machitza shel barzel shel me'al gabav, because it will be blocked by that steel wall that we've created out of stinginess. Wow. You hear what he's saying? A person can do Torah and mitzvot and deserve fountains of blessings from above. But the blessings won't reach us because we have blocked the conduit. And the conduit is about being a nediv lev, being a generous person, being a giving person, being a person who follows in the examples of our forefathers and foremothers and gives with joy. And Rav Masisyahu says, this is our challenge. Ha'im in source 30, Yeshanu Lev, Kemoshe Nishrash, L'zer Avraham Avinu, do we really have a heart which has been implanted from the children of Avraham Avinu that's a Rahman, that's merciful, that runs after stuck of a chesed? And clearly he says we have to work on doing more acts of kindness to open ourselves up to give and give with love and give with joy and clear out that path so that bracha can descend upon us. Okay, my friends, two ingredients of the cake so far. One, desire, hishtokakus, passion, and number two is recognizing that every time I give to stucco, to charity, I am really taking eternity, I am growing, and as a person, I am changing my midos, and in the sense, I am taking far more than I am giving. Now we get, my friends, to ingredient number three, source number 32, Ish L'Rayehu, the Gra. The Gra explains, Hama'ot nitnu la'adam kedei la'asot chesed, money is given to a person in order to do acts of kindness. They know Alehem Ela Kegabai. Our job is really only to be the Gabai, to be the emissary for it. And we'll do the English here in 21. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef elaborates. The Talmud teaches that if a person bequeaths all his property to only one of his sons, we assume that he meant to appoint the son as a legal guardian to distribute the inheritance of his children. We make the same assumption that no one would act so inequitably with his own children. Nonetheless, God differentiated between his children, bestowing wealth on some and depriving others. Can it be that God does not follow his own Torah? The answer is that the wealthy are really legal guardians appointed by God to distribute a fair share to all of his children, just as a single heir must distribute his father's property among his siblings. And that's why when the wealthy provide for the poor, they really are giving them what is rightfully theirs. And here Rav Dessler at the end of 32 notes that if a person understands this, so they're not then going to apportion out X amount, a large amount for themselves, and a much smaller amount for poor people. Just like in this example, you would want to distribute it equally among everyone. If we understand that we are responsible one for another, and that those who have money, and again, it's a continuum, are given the money in order to share it with others, it's really based on the premise where Rav Shimon Shkop from Masisyar brings down in 35 that we understand Shebemet Kol Ish Yisrael Hu Ra Ke'ever Miguf HaUma Yisraeli. We're all part of one unit. We're all part of the Jewish people. And we have to look at ourselves as being part of one family. And therefore, when somebody comes in 36 to our door to ask for money, we should look at this person standing there as giving them the money that belongs to them. Like a person giving money to a member of their family that they were told, you know what, here's X amount of money, please divide it up among your siblings. So when a person comes to the door, I should look at it as Achicha Evyon. He's my sibling, and I'm just giving the money that really belongs to him. It's not even my money. It's money that was apportioned out to him, and I am just the person who's responsible to give out the money. We need to understand, obviously this gets to a whole larger issue, that all the money that's given to us is given to us to be used appropriately and to be used, the money that we've given a Rosh Hashanah that is apportioned out for the year has to be used in ways that are appropriate for the service of God. If it is not used in that way, so then, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away our money, reminding us that we need to be able, and obviously there are many reasons why God can take away money. This is not the only one, right? That's understood. But this is one of the reminders that we need to be able to make sure to use our money appropriately. And again, I'm not saying that somebody who lost their money means that they haven't given tzedakah. Absolutely not. Kadosh Baruch Hu has its cheshbonos. But we do need to understand that sometimes these experiences are wake-up calls. And this is what Rav Arush brings down in the Garden of Emunah. The famous Gemara of Yochanan ben Zakkai was a dream, Motzei Yom Kippur, that his nephew was destined to lose 700 dinars that year. So throughout the year, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hounds his nephew to give charity. At the end of the year, the tax collector comes to his nephew and asks him for 17 dinars. And the nephew's really afraid that the tax collector is going to come back and ask for more money. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says no. He says, throughout the year, you gave 683 dinars. All that is left now is 17 dinars. And that's why I knew you were meant to lose that money. It's better that you really got that money through tzedakah, but giving tzedakah than giving it to the tax collector. And that, says Rav Arush, is true of us. Money goes in very bizarre ways. It goes to parking tickets. It goes to medical bills. It goes to plumbing. It goes to flat tires. Money goes in very, very interesting ways. One who gives money to tzedakah is somebody who understands that the money is given to me to apportion out correctly, and I'd rather be proactive in spending my money on worthy causes to, on some level, prevent that the money should not be given to, you know, that $100 parking fine or, you know, speeding ticket we all agree is just a waste of money. And I remember in L.A., they put up a do not turn right sign by the school, and it was a brand new sign, and no one really paid much attention to it, and the police knew that. And they would pull people over making that right turn during school hours. And I believe it was a $700 ticket. Now, that's a lot of money for a right turn. I mean, that's a costly right turn. And we say to ourselves, gosh, $700, what can I do with that money? Let's think about what we could do with the $700 before we make that right turn. So we make the right turn. We make the turn in the right direction. We are given money to utilize correctly. And that is our understanding in the third ingredient of Stukah. The chuli truma you shall take from the money that was granted to you, almost like the fund that was granted to you, and then give it out appropriately. Because really, Stukah is not our money, it's God's money to use in the appropriate manner. First ingredient is desire. Second ingredient is we acquire eternity through Stukah. Third ingredient in giving Stukah is the realization that we are just an emissary to give out the money. Ingredient number four of the five is found in the Be'er Moshe, who explains that we receive the tenuli, the kuli truma. What do we get? Shemashrish v'kerbo, fourth line down in 42, Etamuna, we are able to instill within us faith. That when we give charity, we are receiving. What should you take? V'chuli truma, you shall take for me a portion. You shall take for yourselves the rubrics of emuna, of faith. What does this mean? So Rosh Hashanah brings down here that in source number 43, that the Torah promises when you give stukah, because of this thing, Hashem will bless you. And all the works of your hands, and everything that you do. We learn from here that reward for stukah is not just an external reward. It's a davar TV. It's something natural. Just like we have a law of gravity. You throw something up, it comes down. One gives stukah, zero lechem bet stukah, the kitzur lifi chesed. You plant stukah, you are zareya tzedakos, you're matzmiach yeshuos. You plant stukah, you will see the salvation. That is the built-in reward. And that is why the Navi Malachi teaches us, b'chanuni nabazo, the only area we're allowed to test Hashem in is in stukah. Because Hashem says, bring the Meiser, bring your tithes, and you'll see that the Otro Shemayim, the gates of heaven are going to open until you're going to say, Ad Belida, your lips are going to say, enough, enough. One who gives stukah, one who gives charity, and we all have stories of this, my friends. And we all have stories of this, how, you know, we give a large amount of charity, and we say to ourselves, well, how are we ever going to, you know, pay it? And then suddenly, you know, a check comes from nowhere and money comes from nowhere. And suddenly the exact amount, it happens over and over again. Because stukah is not our money. It's Hashem's money. And Hashem repays us. And for this reason, we can appreciate, he says in 44, V'lachei matzinu kama tfilot abakasha. That's why there are a number of tfilos and requests that we daven b'schut mitzvah stukah. That we give stukah, and in the schus of that mitzvah, we ask for things. For example, there's a minhag, there's a custom, right before we light Friday night candles, to give stukah. Yisker, we give stukah. A person gets a mishaberach in shul, they give stukah. And we say, in the schus of this stukah, in the merit of this stukah, it's not a reward, it's a natural, you know, response. Hashem should answer our tfilos and reward us. Now we come to a gevaldik rama. If we understand that stukah is about Hashem's money, and Hashem will repay us for this, so we can appreciate what the Rama says, Ramosha Israelis, which at first glance seems a bit intense also. The Rama says, Lo die in 44. Val kolpani, lo yitpa'er adam b'tstukah shenotein, a person should never brag about the stukah he gives. V'imi pa'er, and if you brag, I just gave $10,000 too. Lo dai sheino mekabel schar. It's not enough that he doesn't even get a reward. We punish him. Now, we're not talking about putting a person's name or a plaque. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a person who walks around boasting, look what a great tzaddik I am that I gave this amount of money. So why is a person punished for it? So Rav Matisyahu explains that generally, if you brag about a mitzvah, so you've lost the lishma, you didn't do it for the name of heaven, you did it that other people should pat you on the back, ah, oh, wow, you're such a tzaddikas, what a wonderful person you are. So you lost an element. But you didn't lose the mitzvah. What's the difference? By staka, when you go around bragging, look how much money I gave, you're a kofer. You're saying it was your money. You know, it's as if you're saying, I've lost $10,000 for the sake of God. But it wasn't your money. And God's going to repay you. So a person who goes around bragging is misunderstanding the whole essence of what staka is about. And this is why a person is mafsid. He loses out when he gives staka in this manner. On this level, on level number 4, ingredient number 4, we can appreciate now that Rambam that we began with, that someone who is ma'ali meinav, that closes their eyes, is called the Blial. Because if the Torah makes this promise that anyone who gives staka is going to be rewarded, and this is a fundamental promise, so a person who was looking for a good investment should be running after opportunities to give staka and not hiding their face from staka. It's like any person who is, you know, your financial advisor and he tells you invest in. Of course you're going to listen to him, or maybe you're going to listen to him. Here the Torah is your best financial advisor is telling you, how do you create all the ingredients that we have, eternity? How do you... all of these wonderful things, you get a reward. The refund that comes in is tremendous. If a person says, no, I'm not interested in this, such a person is an unscrupulous person. He's not believing in the fundamental aspects of what Torah is all about. And my friends, I'll tell you what a litmus test is. When you pull up to your house and you see mishulachim that have just left your door, what's your reaction? Shoo! Glad my, you know, I got... caught at that light, so I missed these mishulachim, or do you run after them and say, please, wait a minute, I'd like to give you. That's the difference for someone who understands what the power of staka is about, who understands the reward inherent in staka, who understands that this is a mitzvah we have to run after. This is one of the greatest mitzvot of, say, positive mitzvot. And who understands what it means to be a Zera Avraham Avinu, the child of Avraham Avinu. The final idea, the final ingredient, is an idea that's echoed in Imre Chemed in the Tam V'Das. The Imre Chemed from the Ger Chassidim speaks about the inyan of giving meiser, tithes. And he speaks about in source number 48 that when a person gives tithes, it has a roshim, it leaves an impression on all the rest of the food that you eat that becomes elevated, that becomes holy. Like a spark remains. And it says the same thing holds true in 49, the asterisk. V'ichuli truma, sh'aidei sh'itnu et ha'truma, yikhu v'ikablu et roshem ha'kedusha. By giving a portion to the tabernacle, to tztaka, v'yikhu, you are receiving, you are taking the ha'ara, the roshem, the spark that is left on your money. When you apportion out X amount of money, you are then able to take the rest of your money and it becomes elevated, it becomes higher, you feel the spark, you feel the kedusha and the rest of your money. So when you give a portion, you are taking the rest of that which you have and is transformed to a higher level of material possession. Similarly, the Tam V'Das of Sternbach points out in source number 50, that what does it say? Vayikhu shelochim kivyachol mimenu yitparach et haras hakedusha shenotein lanu avur trumatenu. When we give staka, we are receiving a ha'ara, a spiritual light from Hashem. So vayikhu li truma, the Torah is telling us, when you give, you're really receiving the spiritual light. Recognize the spiritual light. Tap into the spiritual light. Ingredient number 1, ingredient number 5, really form the basis of our stucca cake, and that is to recognize that giving charity is about our mindset. It's about a spiritual endeavor. As physical as it may be with our body and with our money, it's really about recognizing it's a godly service, and it's about my desire to give to others, and it's about how when I give, I receive such a heavenly assistance, such a heavenly spiritual part. Now, with this in mind, we can appreciate the statement of our rabbis in the Gemara and Be'ah that says, Harot says she'd kaimu nechasav in 51, one who wants their possessions to be strong and remain and not have financial loss, yitabahem adar. You should plant in them an adar, which the Aruch says is about specifically the mitzvah of stucca in the month of Adar, the month that we're bringing in this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, Rosh Chodesh Adar. And that is the avoda of Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar, the month of Adar, is about last week's parasha of Shkolim, of the Chroza of the Shkolim. It was the time that people gave the half shekel. The time of Adar is the Matanos Levyoni, to spend more money on gifts to the poor. If you want your money to be a real investment, invest in the month of Adar, invest in sukkah, invest in giving to others, more particularly in 55, because our rabbis state that in Nisan is a propitious time for the Mashiach to come. And as we mentioned, that one of the elements to bring Mashiach is v'shaveh b'tzedakah. So we spend the last month of the year, Adar, in giving tzedakah, in order to then be able to welcome in the geula, the redemption, in the month of Nisan. And as Lekach HaLibum notes at length based on the Baal HaTanya in 53, even though there's an idea of giving a tenth to stucca and a person should not give more than a fifth to stucca, that's in normal cases. But when a person is sick, when a person is in dire spiritual needs, then there is no limit. Just like a person who's physically sick will spend as much money that they need to in order to get well and see the best doctors and do the utmost that they can. When we are spiritually unwell, where we need to build ourselves up as much as we can spiritually, there's no limit to the amount of charity we can give, because this is something that has an effect on building us up, on making us spiritually whole people, as we have delineated here on all the different aspects of what Stucca is about. Before we summarize, I want to now get back to where I began with the makolet, with the store where this woman said, "Shiri, you have to hear this story." So let me conclude with this story, and then we'll summarize what we've seen today. This woman whom I met at the makolet was somebody who had called me up very recently with a situation where her husband is a contractor, and her husband was giving a ride to his Arab workers back to their town, and he didn't want to like hang out there for long, so he kept the car keys in the car, and he just got out for a second to just secure something down on the roof, and all of his tools and everything were in the truck. And an Arab jumped into his truck and rode off with all of his, basically his whole livelihood. Leonard, it's a large family. And she called me up and she said, like, now what? Like, that was my husband's whole parnassa. His whole livelihood was in that truck. The truck is gone. The tools are gone. It's thousands of dollars to replace these things. Like, we don't have this money. What is our avodas Hashem? What should we do? So I spoke to her quite at length at different aspects of what to do in the situation and how to, you know, obviously it's a wake-up call from God. One of the things that I mentioned to her in this conversation, so now we have a story within a story within a story, was the following story. I said to this woman, I said, a number of weeks ago, I teach different classes in Beit Shemesh. A number of weeks ago, a woman from one of my Tuesday classes came over to me at the end of class and asked me, you know, she said, she wrote lately, in the last couple of weeks, everything's been breaking. You know, started with a washing machine, and then it was this, and then it was that. She said, it's not like small things. It's like the oven, the washing machine. These are like expensive appliances. Like, who has the money to fix all these appliances, she said. But it's more than that. It's like why is all this happening? She says, we increased our learning of Torah, we increased our davening, and still things break. And she said, just this morning something else broke. Shira, do you have any suggestions? So I said to her, there's an idea of stuff that touched me, Mavet. The power of charity is able to annul difficult decrees. I said, you can never lose by giving charity. You know, you think that you don't have the money because you're spending all the money on fixing things. You never lose on charity. The next Tuesday, she came back to me. She said, Shira, I have to tell you the story. She says, after class of Tuesday, Wednesday, I was eating lunch somewhere, and I saw the chesed representative of our community, and I told her, wait a minute, I want to write you out a nice check. And I wrote her out a check, and she said, later that afternoon, I went to the health clinic with my child, and there was this whole back and forth for months where they were taking out each month, you know, a certain amount to cover the health insurance. And there was a whole disagreement of how much we were paying, et cetera, et cetera. It was going back and forth for months. She said, that afternoon when I took my kid in, the nurse secretary said, I figured it out. We've been making the mistake for years. We've been taking out double the amount of money every month. And she said, we owe you thousands of dollars. And she said, sure, I see what you're saying. That now I have money to pay for all of these appliances. I didn't lose money by that check. I gained money. And I said that to this woman. You think you're in a financial situation now that I mentioned Stucca. Where do you get the money for Stucca when we're losing money? I said, you never lose by Stucca. So that's what I had told her. So this woman on Monday, now we're back to the woman in the Makola in the store. She said to me, Shira, I see exactly what you meant. She said, we had bought these raffle tickets for one of the Stucca organizations, a very important Stucca organization in our community. And she said, last night we won second prize, and we won 10,000 shekels, and now we have the ability to pay for the tools that my husband lost. And when I heard this story, within the story of the story, I said, I think this message, I'm not making guarantees here, my friends. Don't line up. And the Torah's making the guarantees, right? There is this aspect, whether we see it as clearly as these two stories, or sometimes it's not as clear. But a person never loses out in giving Stucca. And the surest way to keep one's money in the difficult financial times is to give away the money. The kuli truma. When you take, that's really when you're giving and when you're receiving. And this, my friends, to sum up what we've seen today, the ingredients of our Stucca cake, it's, I think, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that a person's relationship to Hashem should be Ratz Katzvi, you should run like a deer, Gibor Ka'ari, strong like a lion to do God's will. So if we take the anacronym of deers, of Svi, we can have what we've spoken about today. We'll read it out. The D stands for desire, that's the Satsemeth, that it's about our desire to cling to Hashem, our desire to give, we're giving of ourselves. The D is also the Dveikut, the clinging to Hashem. We have to understand that mitzvot are not only about doing, they're about our relationship to Hashem as well. We then come into the E, the Beis Halevi, it's about eternity. That the fly doesn't own the sugar that's near it. The only way that money becomes ours, the kuli truma, is by taking. And when you give, you're taking for eternity. And recognize that you're not only taking for eternity, but you're gaining the second E, which is empathy. That in reality, when you give, you become a nedif leiv, you can become a compassionate person, an empathic person, and that is yours forever. You're really taking more than you're giving. On the third ingredient, we have to recognize that we are the emissary of the money. The money really doesn't belong to us. And recognize there's equity, that there's a justice system. That if you're not going to use the money in the appropriate way, it's going to be taken in different ways. Finally, the R, recognize that the Torah itself promises us a reward for that which we give, and we need to be relinquishing control and not saying, look at how much money I gave, but recognizing it all comes from Hashem. And finally, the S in the tears is that every time we give, there is a spark that is left in the remaining money. And that spark allows the money that we have not to become too gashmias, too physical, but be able to elevate things for spiritual matters, as well as the spirituality, the spirit that is of godliness that comes upon us every time we give. And the bracha that I leave all of us with, my friends, is that we should be zocha, we should merit in the time of Adar to be a starting off point of being able to recognize the power, as the Rambam Maimonides speaks, of how this is the most important mitzvah to say, powerful, positive commandment, to be able to recognize the power of giving tzedakah, not for the poor person, but for us, that we take far more than what we give out. And when we can appreciate the beauty and the power of what giving is all about, that indeed God will be able to send the Shefa Bracha, a tremendous amount of blessing, without any amount of divisiveness or barriers that we will establish, that God will shower a tremendous amount of blessings on us, on all of Klal Yisrael, so that we should be ra'ui, should be worthy. When the month of Nisan comes, the Shaveh B'Tzedaka, that we will be redeemed in the merit, in the schus of Tzedaka.